I'm so glad you're here tonight. You were listening to the greatest Christmas record ever made. And I actually have a few left. So I ought to raffle them off. Or use them as coasters, one of the two, I can't decide. I handed you a piece of paper with... Wow, that was weird. With the passages that, with the passages that I'm going to be reading tonight, so we're all on the same page. Living Water is a very unique place where God does very special things. One of the things that he has done since the beginning is he has led people who have a unique heart to serve to this body. And this has just been on my heart for a while. And if I was completely honest, I would say that I kind of question God and why we would be talking about this, because the percentage of those who serve and volunteer here is kind of ridiculous in the best possible way. But he wouldn't let it go, so we're going to talk about serving. But, or and might be better. And I want us to look at this through the lens of course, our church. But the bigger picture in the time of year that it is, we're all so busy. I was late tonight because traffic is just banana cakes. But we are servants and volunteers and so forth here. There's a lot of us. We all pitch in. Here's what God has challenged me with and wants me to challenge you with. And that is, it's never an issue or a problem to get us to be the first to say, I'll do it. But I want us tonight to ask ourselves, A, are we being intentional? Are we just filling a hole that is there? We got our, finger in the dam, and then another one pops up over here, and eventually the dam breaks and we throw our hands up and quit. Being very intentional and then asking ourselves why we do what we do. And we'll see a couple of examples by the greatest example, Jesus Christ. So let's talk about serving tonight. God, we thank you for this opportunity to open your word, to read the truths that just saturate every page. God, I'm teaching this out of obedience to you, not fully understanding why yet. So I pray that you would direct words. I pray that the Holy Spirit begins to speak. T teach us once again what it means to serve, especially those of us that lead people, influence people, and are a part of our worship experiences here. Whether they lead from their seats, lead from the stage, or carry a title. I pray, God, that you would just show us how a servant leader and someone with a servant's heart serves everywhere, not just Sundays, not just Wednesdays, not just special events. God, you never took a day off. Lord Jesus, in the roughest, toughest weeks leading up to the most brutal event in the history of mankind, you never failed to serve. So remind us, God, what it means to truly put someone else first. Teach us in Jesus' name. Amen. In Mark chapter 10, we see, and these are both, I got two examples and then we're going to pray. They are two very familiar examples, two very commonly referenced passages in the Bible. The first one is Mark 10. We see two pretty bold men, James and John, asking Jesus literally to share his glory. When you scrape off the fancy talk and the self-righteousness and the rhetoric, the root of what they're asking is to share in Jesus' glory by being able to sit at his right and his left hand. And in these positions, they would receive not just respect, but they would receive exceptional or incredible authority. And it wasn't just because they wanted to sit by Jesus. They truly didn't understand who Jesus was. And I'm not saying that to be accusatory or demeaning to the disciples. I can't imagine trying to wrap my mind around the things they saw. And yeah, you get the idea. They were untrained. They didn't have the Bible. They had, you know, some scrolls of, you know, a few of the Old Testament books. That's about it. And even with the intimacy that they had with Jesus, the opportunity to spend time with him, to eat with him, to walk with him, to talk with him, ask him questions, this question came up at a time in Jesus' life when he was rounding third and heading for home. In fact, both of these examples are at a time when he is very, very close to going to the cross. Of course, when this question was asked, Jesus, being Jesus, never missed an opportunity to seize a teachable moment. Amen. And he always did that and does that even today, and he'll do it tonight, because he wants to reveal something inside of us regarding our motives, regarding, honestly, his style of serving. as a leader, when I do premarital counseling, when I take the young man and we have our one-on-one times, and Miss Kim takes the young lady and has their one-on-one times, because there's two separate sets of issues that needs to be discussed. And normally, at some point, I hit a nerve. And it usually comes in the area of servant leadership, in totally, completely putting your wife first. And, of course, the wife putting her husband first, above her, even their own needs. And Jesus demonstrated that. Yes, he demonstrated it on the cross, but he demonstrated it with every walk of life, every step he took and every miracle that he did. So he wanted to reveal something radical about his style. I don't know any other word. His method of serving. And his method of serving is what made him an incredible leader. And my goal as a pastor, as a leader, as an influencer, your goal as a leader and an influencer, regardless of how many you have under you or how many you influence, whether it be just your children, and I don't say just like it's not as important, because it is, but whether it be your kids or maybe you volunteer, anytime you have someone that you have an opportunity to speak into, you are in a leadership role. And Jesus is going to show us the importance of serving in that position. In our text, we're going to read 35 through 45 of Mark chapter 10. I know it's a kind of a big chunk, but we're just going to read it, and I am really going to try not to stop and talk as I read it. I promise. I'll try. he was explaining to his disciples that the Gentile leaders, and of course we understand now what that means. I don't think I have to explain that to our Wednesday night crowd. But he was revealing to his disciples that the Gentile leaders would lord over the people. They didn't give suggestions. Any position that they held, they would lord it over or hold it over the heads of those that were underneath them in any capacity. And he also says that the Gentile people would, specifically the Gentile leaders, would just flaunt their authority. But he makes it very clear with his analogies and his metaphors and his beautiful way that Jesus taught, that as Christ followers, we have to do it differently. So let's read this passage of Scripture, and let's just put yourself in here, and let's just see what it says to us, okay? Mark 10, 35 through 45. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came over and spoke to him, that'd be Jesus. Teacher, they said, we want you to do us a favor. What is your request? Jesus asked. They replied, when you sit on your glorious throne, very, very interesting phrase I encourage you to study out. When you sit on your glorious throne, we want to sit in places of honor next to you, one on your right and the other on your left. But Jesus said to them, you don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering that I am about to drink? Are you able to be baptized with the baptism of suffering that I must be baptized with? 39. Oh, yes, they replied, we are able. Then Jesus told them, you will indeed drink from my bitter cup and be baptized with my baptism of suffering. But I have no right to say who will sit on my right or my left. God has prepared those places for the ones he has chosen. Verse 41. When the 10 other disciples heard what James and John asked, they were indignant. So Jesus called them all together. They were going to have a little teachable moment here. And he said this, "You know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people. You know that the officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you," now get this is a command. This is not a suggestion. This is not something that when we feel like it. "But among you it will be different." And then here's this amazing, amazing truth. "Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must be the slave of everyone else. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many." I agree. I couldn't have said it better. He said, whoever wants to be a leader among you, Jesus said, they've got to be a servant. And again, I'm no Greek scholar. I can't speak Greek. I just read a lot. The Greek original and the original text, it reads a little bit differently. And honestly, it's got a little more punch to it. It stings a little more. "Whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant." So it's not even a matter of leadership, it's a matter of greatness. And that word great is very similar to glorious. The great here also is a word of elevation. It is a word much like in the Beatitudes. Blessed are, you know, the blessed are the this and the blessed are the that. The extremely happy, the elevated to a new level. Jesus is saying here that the great among you must serve. And the word translated here as servant is the word diakonos, D-I-A-K-O-N-O-S, for those of you that are taking notes. Literally translated, it means someone who waits on tables. Someone who waits on tables. Think about that for a second. A good waiter or waitress in a good restaurant, I would name a few, but they might not hear the podcast, so I wouldn't get credit for it. But a good restaurant with a good server, your glass doesn't get half empty. The moment that you are done with a particular plate, they remove it. Usually, they will clean off the table. They will dust it off, any crumbs you might have. They give you their complete attention. And the attention to detail that a good servant at a good restaurant gives to those whom he or she is serving is the way we should live our life every day. To the saved, to the lost, to the wandering, to the churched, to the unchurched. A diakonos cared for needs of others rather than their own needs. In fact, when he uses the word leader here, literally translated as great, he is not just implying something. He's making a pretty audacious statement, and the statement that he's making is, you have to do this, you should want to do this, but I command you to do this in case your wanter is broken, but if you should want to do this, if you get nothing in return. Because here's the deal. A good server in a good restaurant will treat the patrons the same regardless of the tip they left the last time they were there. Because not just anybody gets the job of a server of tables at a really good restaurant. You have to have proven yourself to be a servant. You don't start at the top. You don't start in the finest of restaurants. And they understand that their goal and their rule, their assignment is, it doesn't matter what's going on in my day. It doesn't matter what's happening in my life. It doesn't matter how I feel about this or that. I am here for purpose, and my purpose is to give people 100% of me and give them the greatest experience, because they've been in my presence, the greatest experience they've ever had at whatever it is they're doing. Think about that in wherever and however you serve. Does your family feel that way? Do those that you minister with, if you're a leader of a team, do they know you feel that way? I should back up. Do you even feel that way? Is that your purpose? Is that your goal? Is that how you approach it? That you cannot wait to make someone's job a little easier. It denotes this greatness, this servant. It denotes a person who serves in a humble role. And Jesus' vision of leadership, honestly, must have just staggered the disciples. They probably thought, how can we lead and serve at the same time? I've had young men, I alluded before of the counseling, I've had young men say, well, man, just sometimes, you know, because they came from the old school way, man, you know, all they knew was like that much of Ephesians 5. They started in like verse 20. They didn't start like before that, where you're supposed to submit to one another. They start where wives submit, and they don't even know what submit means. So it's like, well, like sometimes, man, you just gotta lay your foot down and just, yeah, it's all right. You might pick it back up and walk around with one leg the rest of your life. Here's my life philosophy, and if you've known me long, you've heard me say this usually outside the walls of the church. A leader doesn't have to tell anybody they're a leader. If you are the head of your house, you don't have to tell your wife you're the head of the house. If you are leading a ministry, you don't have to tell anybody that you're leading that ministry. You know why? Because you've proven that, because you have poured yourself out, and you should be the one the most tired to go home at the end of the day. His vision of serving was backwards. And I believe that this question continues to unsettle Christ followers today. Mostly because we lend ourselves to leaning more into a position. And I suggest you should lean into the position, but the position you should lean into is that of a servant, not that of ruling over. But we get that messed up. It's really countercultural today, but lest we think we're martyrs, it was worse in Jesus' day, whether we know it or not. But when we are claimed to be Christ followers, we are called to be everyone else's servant. Now, my question is, because I'm talking to those of you that are here, all serve and volunteer somewhere. Are you intentional about it? What's the motive behind what you do? Is the motive behind what you do because, this is just what I do? Or is there truly a mindset of servanthood and a servant's attitude that brings about the satisfaction, whether you're ever recognized or noticed as a leader or not? That's a true leader, and that's a true servant. We've got to treat others with respect. We got to care for their human needs, their spiritual needs, their emotional needs. And you're like, man, I didn't sign up for all that. Well, they don't tell you that when you pray and get saved. Because many of us would have chosen a different route. Following Jesus' leadership isn't easy, but it truly is our calling. Are you intentional? As you lead your teams, are you a leader by default? That is, you started the thing or whatever? Are you leader because everyone expected you to be? Are you serving out of a place of dissatisfaction and even bitterness? Are you striving to be like the two disciples who, man, they wanted to share in Jesus' glory? And Jesus said, can you drink my cup? And of course, they're all down with it, which clearly tells you they don't understand anything about what he's saying. They're just trying to get good seats. And Jesus said, oh, you're going to drink of it, all right. Let's see if you still want it after that. Are you intentional? When you enter your home, into your place of work, into your church, etc., etc., are you intentional about serving? One of the things that I got the most comments about, and I'm using this as an example, I'm saying it out of humility. I can only talk about my life. Please, please don't take this as an arrogant illustration, because that's not my heart. I was employee of the month 3 times. As I managed a little Starbucks, and the first time that I got it, I wasn't even out of probation period yet. So I got a plaque for that, because that was the first time it had ever happened. And if you think about the size of the corporation, I was pretty happy about that. And then I got it again about a year later, and I got it again about another year later. And so they wrote this little thing up about me, talking about why they chose me for that. In that list was mentioned things that I honestly did without thinking. For instance, if you know me, you know I generally will park the farthest away from anybody else in humanity and their vehicles, because people are crazy. unless it's my motorcycle, and then you can't hurt it, and if you ding it, it'll just make it look cooler. But for the most part, I park kind of far away. And on my way in, I would gather all the carts that were out and about, like over in the, like, yeah. Again, I didn't even think about that. That's a good reason, but that wasn't why. It was just, you know, man, somebody's gonna have to come out here and get. I'm already here. What's the big deal, man? I mean, grab some cards, take them in. What's the big deal? I remember Tom Jackson teaching back when we were in the little bitty storefront, or it might have been in the our first men's retreat, if I'm not mistaken. He was talking about the talents, and he said, and he actually used that as an example. And I didn't even think about that until I read that in the write-up. But Tom was saying, a five-talent man looks for opportunity to give, looks for opportunity to serve. A five-talent person, just, they're intentional. And God multiplies it. Are you intentional? Because I already know you serve. But are you intentional? Do you know why? Let's look at one more. This is the one that I was actually reading through the book of John. And if you're here and you're a new believer, or if you're listening to this via the podcast from wherever you are, hi, my name's Jeff, and thank you for listening. But if you're here and you've recently asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life and to forgive you of your sins, and you don't know where to start in the Bible, start with John. It just is a beautiful picture of Jesus, his servanthood, and you've got some really cool stories about John the Baptizer in there. But start with John. So I tend to read through John not as often as I read the book of Acts. I try to do that at least once a week. But I was reading through John, and I was doing a reading plan on my phone on YouVersion. It had to do with serving. I don't know where I found it. And after I had read the book of John, the person who did this reading plan kind of confirmed what I was thinking. In the first few chapters of John, Jesus does things that no one else could do. I mean, or at least weren't doing. The Holy Spirit had to come because Jesus had not yet gone and sent the Spirit. Okay, so Jesus was doing things like healing the sick. Jesus was doing things like raising people from the dead. Jesus was doing things that no one else did. He was turning water into wine. Why didn't his mama ask somebody else? Well, because somebody else wasn't Jesus. So he was doing things that no one else was doing. He gave sight to the blind and so on and so forth. And then around chapter 13, which is the section I have for you to read, Jesus does something that anyone can do, but very, very few do it. He makes servanthood so practical that we miss it. Early in John, people were spectators. You either supported what he did, or you were on the other side of the schoolyard calling him demonic, because only God can do what he was doing. Little did they know, they were 100% right. But then in 13, he does something anyone can do, but not many want to, because you got to be very intentional and very humble. And now, hear this. You got to do it to those whom you know are not going to stand with you, who are not going to walk with you, who are not going to follow you, who are not going to be devoted to you, who won't catch your vision, catch your dream, we are still required to do acts of servanthood to everyone. Even those who say they don't want you to do it. That's when you just do it anonymously. If God is telling you to do it, and you go to do something, and they're like, I don't want you to do it. No, I got this. I don't need any help. We're not a charity case. Blah, 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 blah. Pride's an ugly thing. Figure out a way to do it anyway, because you got to be obedient to God. John 13, let's start in verse 3, another decent chunk, all the way to 17. Man, I want you to feel this. This is the story where Jesus washes the disciples' feet. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything and that he had come from God and would return to God. Verse 4. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist. This is where I want to just spend so much time talking, but I'm not going to because I want you to have time to pray. But each one of these movements means something incredible in your life. So put a big star beside it, underline them, highlight them, I don't know what you do. Pray over these steps. I'd love to hear what God tells you. He got up from the table, comma, took off his robe, comma, wrapped a towel around his waist, comma, poured water into a basin. Then, see, those things had to happen before he began to do this act of service. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that he had around him. Verse 6, when Jesus came to Peter, Peter said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you don't understand now what I'm doing, but you will someday. No, Peter protested. You will never, ever wash my feet. Now, are you in a story? Are you a bystander in a story? Maybe you're sitting next to Peter. Maybe you've placed yourself as one of the disciples. Jesus has knelt down. He's literally on his knees. I don't know if he was on both knees, one knee. I don't know. Probably depends on how his arthritis was feeling that day. For the sake of illustration. But I want you to think about it. You're sitting there, and your buddy, Peter, who can't keep his mouth shut, says, you'll never, ever wash my feet. And now, you can just kind of picture Jesus. He's got this towel, right? And it's laying across his leg, probably. Maybe he whips it over his shoulder. I don't know. No doubt he doesn't tie it back around him. But because he's using it. I sense a little pause right here because of the gravity and the weight of what Jesus says. So Peter says no. So he's looking at Jesus saying no. Okay, strike one. No, that's probably strike two. Peter protested, you will never ever wash my feet. And I can imagine Jesus raising his head, making eye contact with Peter, pausing for effect. When you lock eyes with Jesus, it's not a matter of, you know, alpha dog syndrome, like who can look away last. It is captivating. You know that he sees your soul, your heart. He knows what you're thinking. And so in this gaze, Jesus said, Peter, unless I wash you, you won't belong to me. So Simon Peter hits a home run. Then wash my hands and head as well, Lord, not just my feet. And then Jesus replied, dial it back a notch, bud. That's the JSBV. You can write that over to the side. A person who has bathed all over does not need to wash except for their feet to be entirely clean. You disciples are clean, but not all of you. For Jesus knew who would betray him. That's what he meant when he said, not all of you are clean. But yet he still washed their feet. After washing their feet, he put on his robe again. He sat down and he asked, do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher, and you call me Lord. And you are right, because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. Underline that, because that is a biblical principle that is from Genesis all the way to the book of the Revelation. God is wanting us to do to others as he has done to us. Now, it would serve you well to go home and make a list of the things that God has done for you, the things that Jesus has given you in the last week, because you'll run out of paper if you go anymore. Those things on your list are what you should be doing and I should be doing for everyone else, regardless of how many times they've jacked you. And regardless if you know something about them and you know they're getting ready. I've given you an example to follow, verse 15. Do as I have done to you. I tell you the truth. Slaves are not greater than their master, nor is the messenger more important than the one who sends the message. And now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them. He'll bless you for doing them. If you look at how that's originally parsed out, literally says, he will bless you if you do them. I want the blessings of God in my life. I want the favor of God on my life. You do too. So you got this Jesus who reigns over the universe, the cosmos, everything, put the stars in the skies and the planets in place, spun the ones that needed to spin, made a couple black holes just to mess with our minds. And then he performs a concrete act of lowly service that could not be misunderstood. And just in case it could be misunderstood, he explained it. Are you that intentional in terms of serving? As you're preparing for whatever it is you're going to do, whether Michelle's on the worship team, I get the chance to lead worship every now and again. Rob's over the production team. Sarah's over her ministry. I could go on and on. Ben and Cody, they're blowing it up downstairs. Literally some days. Carry on. Keep up the good work. And I'm not saying this because I think this about you. I'm just using you as an example because I know we'll still be friends. I really hope. Are you coming in with the mindset of serving? I'll use Michelle. I've served with her the longest of the people I named. Her and Rob. Do you come in with the mindset of serving, or do you come in with the mindset of what note you have to hit and lyrics? And trust me, I don't want to say demand because that's such a horrible word. I expect excellence. You want me to. And I will push you in that direction. Yes. However, I was going to say lead, but sometimes so as I'm driving you in that direction, it can't take the place of, why we're here. Rob has multiple duties that he has to do. You know, lights have all got to be just right. Media's got to be just right. Sound's got to be just right. He's got all those things. When he comes in the room, is his mindset that of intentional serving? Or is his mindset is, man, my God, I wish Fred wasn't running sound today because Fred is tone deaf. If Fred is tone deaf, give him a new job. See, we need to set people up to succeed in their serving. Amen, Jeff. That's good. You need to. The old adage, which I completely believe in, and we can teach people how to do tasks, but we can't teach heart. That's awesome. But at some point, your heart will never trump the art if you're causing people to be distracted and stumble in their worship or in their serving. So set them up to be successful. Every one of us in this room who are serving should be training our replacement. You ain't going anywhere, but as we expand, and as we grow, and as we start a church here and there, we need to be able to serve. I've lost count of the number of people that come to me and they would say, I want to be on stage. I want to do this. I want to lead this ministry. I want to teach this. I want to do that. And my answer is always, and I'm not afraid to say it, and I say it every time, tell me where you're serving right now. Because you ain't leading diddly, and diddly's in the Bible. It's just in that version that I'm writing. You ain't leading diddly until you've served. Until you have intentionally, strategically, not put everything else on the back burner, but served with a purpose. Jesus washed their feet for a purpose, not just because their feet were dirty. It is so that, as he said, I'm showing you what you need to do. That's what should be in our mind in whatever capacity that we are humbling ourselves to serve. I'm not doing this because of the need. I'm doing this because I'm trying to model to you what it looks like to serve. Is it always fun? No. Does it wear you out? Yes. But let me tell you something. It will wear you out less if you'll stop thinking about the tasks, concentrate on the serving, and do whatever it is in the area of your service with excellence, and you will find so much satisfaction. What a lovely illustration he gives us. He gives us the purpose of godly service, and that is so that others benefit. Even those, man, Judas was in that line, guys. Judas was in that row. And again, I don't know how Jesus made his way around, man. I don't know if they sit in a circle. I don't know if they sit in a row. I don't know. I couldn't care less, honestly. I'm not going to go to war over it. But as he moved over and Judas was next, what was in Jesus' mind? You understand that this happened right before he went to the cross, right before he went and laid down his life, right before Judas betrayed him in the garden with the kiss. He washed his feet. He served him in the lowest form of humility that he possibly could in his day. I want to be that. people who pattern their leadership after Jesus will accomplish the vision and mission of their life. They will accomplish the vision and mission of their family. They will accomplish the vision and mission of their organization. They will accomplish the vision and mission of their church. They will accomplish the vision and mission of their ministry. They will accomplish the vision and mission that Jesus has for wherever you serve. I don't care if it's from the nursery to preaching the Sunday morning sermon. If you do it with a servant's heart, you will be great. Amen. I agree too. I have two ways that I believe those of us who are influencers in this room right now, and all of us are, two quick bullet points. You write them down if you want. It is the time, almost probably, perhaps, I'm shooting from the hip on this one. I don't have a statistic, but probably the only area where it's better to give more than it is less. In terms of, you know, usually more isn't better. Usually less is more. Usually I'll tell you, the fewer words you say, the better off you are. Some people, that's an art form for some folks. For some people, it's foreign. But when you are an influencer, you literally cannot talk enough. If what you are saying is coming from a servant's heart to make the other one better than they are at that moment. In other words, if a question gets asked, and I had to learn this, because especially on Sunday mornings when I'm focused or trying to get focused, and I get asked a question, I would usually have either someone else answer the question, and in some cases that's important because some people will just ask the dumbest questions just so that they can ask me a question. But if it's a legit question, yes and no is not the way to answer that question. If you know it's coming from a place where they're wanting to learn, they're wanting to grow, you, being intentional and strategic in serving, not only have to answer the question, but you need to explain why the answer was what it was. Or what you've done is you have just pointed someone in the direction of do this or do that, not with being intentional of serving them so that they are better. So one big way that you and I as influencers can serve is, let's, have you ever, when you practice this, you will begin to anticipate the questions before they are ever asked. And again, I'm not talking about the people that just want to talk. Those people, honestly, I don't even care if you answer them. And I wasn't joking. But the people who you influence and you lead, you should be so intentional on serving that you can almost anticipate the question that they're going to ask. And anytime you can answer questions before they're asked, anytime you can get on the front end of a situation, it's so much easier to manage than the back end of the situation. On the front end of a situation, hear this very carefully, please. On the front end of a situation, on the front end of something getting ready to go to hell in a handbasket, on the front end of something getting ready to go sideways, on the front end of a question that someone's going to ask because they genuinely don't know, on the front end of that is educational. That's education. On the back end of that, that is, you just gave an answer without an explanation, so there was no education. On the back end of that is an excuse. Because now you're in damage control mode. So anytime you can get in front of something, it's educational. That's serving. The backside of it, when it's already self-destructed, now all that can come out of the person that's self-destructed is excuses. They're given the excuse of why this, this, and this happened. When, if we as servants maybe would have been a little more intentional, we very possibly could have had that off at the pass. Secondly, and finally, we here at Living Water and the ministries involved here and the para-ministries that are from here, we do everything in our power to pull off a stellar worship experience. And I'm not talking about bells and whistles. I'm talking about with excellence. And I'm just asking us to consider a mindset change. Don't just hustle around to make sure that everything happens. You still may need to hustle, but hustle with the mindset of a servant's heart. The reason, not the task, back it up two levels. X, Y, and Z have to be done before Jeff hits the stage. X, Y, and Z has to happen. Yes. Non-negotiable. Yes. Barring a disaster, yes. But then ask yourself, but why am I doing that? What's the motive? Is it so that I'm serving a room full of people, including my pastor? And then back it up one more and ask yourself, am I intentional about it? And am I doing it my best? Because it's easy for us, especially when you, man, especially when you feel like it's, you carry the weight of things. Again, it could be your family, it could be your job, I don't know what it is, but I'm just asking you to look deep inside of yourself, because all of us, as Mr. Dillon said, you're going to have to serve somebody. So don't serve the tasks. If you serve the tasks, eventually the tasks will control you. Serve the people. I don't know why God wanted that said tonight, but I did. To those of you that are here, and to those who may listen, I'm asking you to ask yourself, are you intentional? Are you strategic? Why do you do what you do? God, I thank you for the opportunity to serve. I thank you for your unbelievable, incredible, unexplainable example in the scripture of service. Father, you demonstrated it far beyond any of us ever will when you gave your one and only Son, because you love the world to such a degree that you were willing to give him up to serve us, to pay for the penalty of our sin. We don't get that. We believe it in faith, but we don't understand it because no one in this room possesses that kind of love, including me. But Lord, we want to get closer to that tonight. The least will become the happiest, will become great, will become servants. And we must be willing to kneel down and serve, wash the feet of those that we do life with. You're going to get that opportunity before you leave this building. You're going to get that opportunity when you get home. You're going to get that opportunity when you get up in the morning. You'll be amazed at the opportunity if you will just keep that at the forefront of your mind. And then when Sunday comes, you are going to have 100 opportunities. 100 plus opportunities to serve with a purpose. God, we love you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your mercy and grace. We ask you to speak to our heart in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Maybe ask the Lord what he would have you do.